Good morning. Good morning out there, chilly. Crisp. Yeah, that's right.
Hold me closer.
Hold me closer.
No, oh, I'm warmer.
That feels better. We just lit the fire. That's what it is. Anyway, welcome to the... Benny did
the
that so
fire.
Well.
Yeah,
I think he's made that sound before, just once or twice. Anyway, welcome to the original Loretta Brown Show. Radio to open the heart, heal the soul, and awaken the consciousness. I have a great show today. Really, really great show. I'm looking forward to my guest. And, of course, I like to remain slightly mysterious. So you have to hang on to find out who it is. That's right. Mm-hmm. But you're going to be really glad that you tuned in, especially during this time of the year. The holidays are quickly approaching. How many shopping days do we have left, Mr. Benny?
19?
I don't know. Somewhere in
19
there.
19 if you're going to do it the day of. 18 if you're good.
That's right.
17 if you're better. Yeah. 16 if you're
And for those of you that are already done.
Oh, kudos. Wow. Kudos to you all.
Hallelujah to you.
Right?
And good planning. That's great. I am the owner of Reiki Oasis, located right here in the greater Seattle area. We're going into 24 years in business. Just almost unbelievable. What a blessing. What a wonderful thing. I stepped into sort of what we call my higher path years and years ago. It was a challenging thing to do, and I have never looked back. So if you want to find out more about me, Loretta Brown, you can go to ReikiOasis.com. And, of course, you can schedule everything at schedule.reikioasis.com. And a big thank you to my webmaster, Indigo Hawk, because I haven't thanked him for a long, long time. And I am ever grateful. And look for new things coming in the new year. We're working on some stuff to try to make things a little bit more available to all of you, which is I've been asked over and over and over again. So it's happening. It takes me a little while because, you know, I'm just like that. I do things carefully.
Of course.
I have a tempo. Sometimes it's slow.
I think most people should have a tempo or be more aware of their tempo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've talked about tempo a lot with my clients this week, about how some people run at a high, fast tempo and some people go a little slower. And sometimes that's why it creates a little conflict between us, a little bit of scratchiness.
Classic example would probably be good old pal Saint Nick.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to be on an even edge.
Mm-hmm.
Tempo. He can't go too fast, too slow.
That's right.
He's got to make his rounds.
That's right.
Especially if you're nice.
That's right.
If you're naughty, well, there's the tempo.
Yeah. What about the elf on the shelf? Is that happening this year?
Not at my household. They do that. Their moms, the boys do. And yeah, I've seen some pretty interesting interesting ones, I should say. It's another thing to just like also have to kind of remind yourself to stay on top of that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you do.
The project, that is.
That's right, because it is a project.
It is a project.
It can't be. The elf cannot be doing that one thing for 3 days.
Yeah, there's a little guidance involved
with
the elf on the shelf.
Yep. So just fun things to do. I love tradition. I love family. And I love when you have something that you do that it's not all about presents, as you know. Sometimes it's about these beautiful memories that we make with each other. So, and even the holiday dinners or things like that. So... I hope you're having a good time going into this holiday season, irregardless of what your beliefs and your religions are. There's lots of wonderful traditions, and you, of course, can start your own at any given time.
Best of us for the rest of us.
That's right. I have a couple of announcements for Reiki Oasis. We have the Temple of the Divine Feminine this Saturday, December 8th, and we usually do it the third Saturday. It's the second Saturday because... I'm sorry, I have something that Loretta has to go do the third Saturday, so I know. Betty rolled his eyes.
No, I'm thinking, like, what do you have planned?
I'm going to go chanting with my sacred sound people.
See?
Yeah. You know, things that help nourish my soul as a musician. So
holiday cheer, holiday chanting.
Mm-hmm. A little holiday chanting, a little holiday cheer.
Nice.
I'll play the piano and do some original music and that kind of fun stuff.
Nice.
I know. People happen to like it. I don't know. Maybe they're just friendly and they're just being nice. But I do love music. I think it's a vital part of our life. So Temple of the Divine Feminine this Saturday. It's a monthly class for women. We talk about all kinds of things that help women in every aspect of your life. And kind of, you know, how can you be the best that you are in the busy life that you are? And we look back at ancient mysteries and sacred secrets, I suppose you might say. It's really, really fun, and I would love to have you come. It's kind of a support group. I also have on Wednesday evening, December 26th and December 27th, you just choose one night, I have the end of the year prayer bundles. And these are, another word for prayer bundle is despacho, and it's such an odd word that I just call them prayer bundles. But it's an opportunity for you to come and bring into this sacred circle the things that you would like to let go of from this year, the old, worn out, tired, dusty things, and to bring in your intentions for what you want to bring into the new year. Space is limited. You can sign up at schedule.reikioasis.com, and please only sign up for one of those nights. And I'm just letting people know they fill up very quickly. They're always packed, and people have the most wonderful feedback from what happens from just doing that little bit of attention and intention into their lives. And, of course, that's how we do it. What we attend to, we get more of. So be careful where your attention is as focused, right? And do it consciously. I want to thank all my supporters. We are a listener-supported show. For those of you that support the show and those that want to, you can go to patreon.com/theLorettaBrownShow. And even $1 helps pay for this airtime where I can bring you amazing, inspirational talk radio with people who are... they're out there because they want to help. That's really what it's all about. And I always need a little bit of help. I need a pep talk every now and then. Quick check-in with astrology. December ends 2018, Benny, on a high note.
Yes!
I know. And if you want to know what to expect in 2019, pay attention to what happens this month. And we're already, what, 6 days into it. In December 2018, it's time to reflect on what you want from the next version of yourself and from the next chapter of your life. And some of my clients, I believe, are throwing the book out and starting a new one. It's that sort of new energy. So why should you pay so much attention to December? Because in December, we're done. Dun, da, da, dun, with the retrograde planets. Da, 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 da.
Woo-hoo!
I think we had just about all of them retrograde at one point.
Best news I've heard.
Yes. So 2018 was probably the year of retrogrades. And retrogrades are not necessarily a bad thing, but they do make us revisit the past.
It's like a record setting, wasn't it?
It was. It was kind of outlandish at one point. So we had a very long Mars retrograde challenging us through the summer. And, you know, Mars is that fiery planet of war and battle and rah, like that. So when Mars finally went direct, well, then Venus started her retrograde in October. And then again, when Venus went direct, one day later, Mercury went retrograde. So they all were taking turns. But on December 6th, which is today, Mercury goes direct. Yay! And Mercury is the planet of communication. And so with this, the retrograde saga is over. And like I said, they're not all bad. But it's time for us to stop looking back and redoing now. It's time to move on. The universe and God is on our side, and it should be smooth sailing for December and January. So the theme for December is to dream big and explore new courses of action, and envision a new reality for yourself. We have lots of Jupiter and Neptune energy. They're the planets of spirituality, of envisioning something that doesn't yet exist. Jupiter is in its own sign of Sagittarius, and we also have 3 weeks of the Sun in Sagittarius, a wonderful Mercury-Jupiter conjunction in Sagittarius, and a new moon in Sagittarius. So why do we care about that? Sagittarius is the archer who shoots to the stars. And so this is the season to dream big and send your intentions to the universe. So let's put it like this. If 2018 was not what you expected, what are your plans for 2019? Do you hope In 2019, the stars will be better. Will you wait and see? Or are you ready to take real action to change your life? And if you do the same things you've been doing, you will. If you continue to do the same things you will been doing, and I can't even say it, you'll get the same results. So you got to change something. And for the sake of Jupiter and Sagittarius, no more repeating the same old, old. And it's time to completely change your life. And of course, we always have help to do that. At every given moment, we are never alone. And boy, is that something that we want to take a look at. I'm going to introduce my guest. My guest today is Joe McQuillan. He's a Chicago author, a mortgage broker, a father, a regular guy, by the way, who wrote a book he never, ever wanted to write when his son Christopher drowned in a canoe accident January 3rd, 2016. We're going to talk about Joe's book, My Search for Christopher on the Other Side, and it is an absolutely remarkable story of a father's journey through grief, awakening, discover, and acceptance, and how Joe navigated the personal bridge to the other side. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Thank you very much, Loretta. Yeah. I appreciate it.
I really appreciate having you here. You know, it's hard to know where to start with this interview because there is a lot. I read your book, and it is, I'm just going to say this. You know, I've read a lot of books about life on the other side or when people pass, and many of them are difficult to get through. They're very academic or something or sterile.
Yeah.
And your book is coming straight from the heart. So I'm just going to say that. Give us some background. What happened and what led you to writing this book?
Sure. Thank you. And I agree. I've read a bunch of these books and, you know, you just can't get through some of them. Some of them are too flighty.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I was grateful that Chris was able to navigate me through writing, this book. So in December of 16, the last Christmas that Chris was on this side, we had a great Christmas, and he was home from college, and his sister's in college, and his younger brother was finishing high school. And the last weekend, January 3rd, they went up to a friend's lake house in Wisconsin, and 12, 14 kids. And they're not kids. They were young adults, 21, but they're still kids to me. And did what they, comes naturally, drinking, carousing, shooting pool at a local place, and then coming back and kicking up their heels. And unfortunately, four of these boys decided that at 3 a.m., there was a boathouse and some canoes in there that they would be a hoot to take a canoe out. And all four of them went out, and none of them came back. And, the next day, the kids were scrambling looking for them, and I got a call saying Chris was missing. So I jumped in my Jeep with my dog, and we headed up to Wisconsin, an hour and a half away. And halfway up, I got the phone call that said that it was no longer a search but a recovery, that they were all gone, and they were just recovering the body. And obviously, to any parent or anybody with a heart listening, time just freezes and your heart just breaks. And went up there and waited most of the day. And God bless one of the families. They didn't recover the boy for another 3 days. And they wouldn't let me see my boy. They showed pictures and had to go home and start, the details that go along with this, including a wake that included 2,000. There were 2,000 people.
Mm.
So he was a popular kid. He was a very sweet kid. He was a handful. Unfortunately, he was like his old man when he was young at that age,
Mm-hmm.
And so I started trying to connect with him on the other side the way we connected on this side, and that was the start of the search.
Wow. There is a lot in what you're saying. And for those people listening, I actually know that some of my clients have lost children this year. And,
yeah.
You know, there are certain things that we talk about, and then there's things that are just so hard for people to talk about that they just can't do it. So I'm going to give you big, just from my heart to yours, the courage that it takes for you to be on this show with me and also to have written this book. And the compassion in this book, the caring in this book. So for my listeners, if any of you have lost a child or if you lost a loved one, you might actually want to call into the show today at 425-373-5527 or 1-888-298-5569 and just come onto the show with us. And
you know, one thing, yeah. Loretta, for mm-hmm. those people, if they're waiting for somebody who's been through it to tell them, you know, it gets easier, it heals, it doesn't. You learn how to adjust to it. It changes. Pain doesn't go away. You just cope with it differently. So anybody who's lost a kid, my heart and soul are with you, especially around this time of year.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the holidays and anniversary dates bring things up. So one of the reasons I wanted you on the show now. You know, I have to tell the listeners, you know, you're really just kind of a regular guy. You're from a Irish Catholic family. I think you're the youngest of 10 children. And by the way, I'm the seventh of 8 children from an Irish family. I don't think it happens. And you're really a blue collar worker from the Bronx. So here, what led you to psychics and mediums of all things?
You know, it's funny. A couple of things. You know, I've been blessed with being genetically predisposed. You know, 33 years ago, I stopped drinking. I started, got involved with AA, not because I was doing it so well, Loretta. You know, nobody quits because it was working out so well, right?
Right.
And even though I had 13 years of Catholic school, it was only then that I started embracing some sort of spirituality, not necessarily religion. Spirituality. Mm. You know, I went to a high school where I said the prayer of St. Francis every day for 3 years, but it was only when listening to a Wayne Dyer book, and he talked about the prayer of St. Francis, when I had become a little bit of a spiritual journey when I was sober, that I actually embraced a loving God. I had a loving, wonderful father, you know, flawed like all of our dads. I adored my dad. So I think it was easier for me to embrace a loving God, having had a loving dad that would never do anything to harm me. So, but God and I went on our own way, you know, and, you know, he did his thing and I did mine. And when this thing crashed with Christopher crossing over, I'd get on my knees and I'd thank God every night for my family and for keeping me sober. And then I would literally say, you know, but I'm PO'd at you for taking my kid. And I had to open myself up for the message that came from God that said, I didn't take your son. His recklessness and his free will caused him to leave early. And I welcomed him home, but I didn't take him, Joe. You know, I didn't do that to you. So once I realized that, Loretta, mm-hmm. I was able to embrace him and then start this search for Christopher that's in this environment. And I didn't know. But I had ran across the medium once 10 years before, just kind of on a bit of a lark or a spiritual search. So I always believed in them. I just had no urgency to connect. And now I did. You know, I would now, even when Chris was on this side, I'd do anything to connect with him. So, you know, the philosophy didn't change. I just needed to find him. And so I started seeking this stuff out. And it's amazing how quickly it all happened and what a convert I became, you know, immediately. You know, the first guy I saw in person just said to me, you were planting something today. Chris acknowledges you're wearing his bracelet. You celebrated his birthday like you always did. That very day I was planting shamrocks in the loose dirt around his grave. Now, the dirt was loose because I had moved his grave one over. Because I was upset that he was sitting next to somebody, because he was buried in the snow and ice, and I didn't realize there was a gravestone there. So we moved him, and I'm going to occupy that spot. So I planted that spring. I planted shamrocks, and I walked in. And he said, "Yeah, Chris is here. He looks like Brad Pitt, and he just went down this line of things that nobody do. I had done that day. And Sally and I had the night before celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary. And so this was, you know, months later, I'm in a medium's office and just hitting me with a barrage of facts from the other side. This is my son saying he's here. And he's continued that. You know, I've continued working to get open, and he's continued to bring me messages.
You know, I love what you're saying, because that validation is really so important. You know, because here you are going into, you know, a psychic medium, and there are some charlatans out there. I'm just going to say that. But then there's the real thing. And you were guided to the real thing.
And you know what? And if I went to the wrong one, I'd know it in a heartbeat. I went to one gal that wasn't very good at it. She wasn't trying to mislead me. She just was, you know, I think there's great pitchers and good pitchers. There's great quarterbacks and good quarterbacks, you know, and great authors and good authors. And hopefully, if you like the book, you know, you'll decide. But you know, I don't think a lot of people are trying to mislead anybody, because it's so difficult in this age of communication. Mm-hmm. But I have been guided to, you know, some wonderful ones: Andrew Anderson, Sherry Jewell. The first one that I met is out in Arizona, Surprise, Arizona, and you know, Thomas John, who's world renowned, and just. There's no getting around the fact that these people are telling me things that nobody knew, that nobody could have looked up, you know. So if they were charlatans, I'm a pretty savvy guy. You know, I spent 25 years in the car business, ended up being a car dealer. So, you know, I'm not really good at people pulling the wool over my eyes. So, and if it was all BS, I wanted to know and find something out.
Mm-hmm.
But I found out that it was. It's just walking from one room to the other. And if we can raise our consciousness, they lower theirs on the other side, and we can meet in the middle. And that's where the meditation comes in, the sage, all of that, just so we can raise our consciousness. I mean, we're like cosmic slugs, you know? And so they've got to slow down their energy to be able to meet us, you know? But when people say, I've never heard from my mom. Have you tried? Have you gone to a spiritual place? I was in Siesta Key last week. I was visiting my sister in Naples and drove up to Siesta Key in the middle of the night to sit with Chris, because it's a sacred spot. I mean, that sand is literally quartz crystal, not sand. So I've met with him a couple of years ago there, and it was strong, and it was strong again. You know, so it's like anything else in the universe or in life, Loretta, you got to go first, mm-hmm. right? If you go first, mm-hmm. it's amazing. I mean, doors will open. No, but you can't sit back and say, well, no spirit ever called me. You got to try harder, sport. You know, give it another shot.
I just love what you're saying, Joe. I really do. We are cosmic slugs, by the way. yeah, we are. We're pretty,
on our best day.
On our best day. We're pretty dense. And yeah, the idea is, you know, it's sort of like sitting in your home wondering why no one's calling you, when you could just pick the phone up and, hey, do your part. Yeah. Come on now. Raise your vibration, raise your frequency, because you do have to raise up and they come down. We're going to take a station break on that. My guest today is Joe McQuillan. And we're talking about his book, My Search for Christopher on the Other Side. This is Loretta Brown. We're going to take a station break. We're going to talk more about being cosmic slugs when we come back. And the lines are open if you want to call in, 425-373-5527 or 1-888-298-5569. We'll be right back.
Did you know that Reiki healing can be done at a distance? It's true. So let Reiki Oasis focus powerful energy to help relieve your stress, grief, sadness, anger, and so much more. Convenient, personalized treatments at a distance can increase lightness of being. During your appointment, find a quiet place to lie down or sit to receive healing energies. If you want help with your dis-ease, visit ReikiOasis.com. Harness life's energy. Visit ReikiOasis.com today.
Children who grow up in poverty are part of a destructive cycle. Childhood poverty creates adult poverty, creates childhood poverty, and on. And this is a relentless cycle. Worldwide, millions of children live in extreme poverty. At Child Fund International, we find this unacceptable. So we do all we can. In 25 countries, we are vigorously fighting poverty and improving the lives of over 11 million children and their families. Our programs support early childhood development and children's health and education. And we help strengthen the economic security of families. Childhood poverty creates adult poverty, creates childhood poverty. But at Child Fund International, we are committed to breaking this destructive cycle. Today's childhood poverty must not become tomorrow's. Learn more at childfund.org.
Alternative Talk 1150. We're on your radio at 1150 AM. We're on your HD radio at 98.9 Channel 3.
So many ways to listen.
We're on the web at 1150kknw.com. Streaming live audio and video as well as MP3 archives of many of our shows.
So many ways to listen.
And now, we're on your smartphone or tablet. Download our free app in the Apple App Store or Google Play and take Alternative Talk 1150 anywhere you go.
So many ways to listen.
Radio with no added hormones or preservatives. All natural Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the original Loretta Brown Show with my guest, the amazing Joe McQuillan. That's right.
The amazing. Wow. Let's put that on my business card.
I know. I like those adjectives. During the break, we were talking a little bit, and I want to bring this out on the air, that for Joe to write this book in the time frame that he did and have it already out and published is some kind of a miracle. And, Joe, I want you to repeat on the air what you told me during the break.
You know, Chris passed and crossed over in January of 16. And because I was meeting with a bunch of mediums trying to find ways to connect with them, I kept copious notes on all of this. I never intended to write a book. I intended to be able to have this stuff to bring me comfort, right? So in February, or must have been February of 18, of 17, that I just got an urge. My wife was downstairs talking to her brother, and she was describing how tenacious Chris was when he was a little kid. So it was in April of 17, when he was a kid playing hide-and-seek, 2 years old. He'd hide, he'd find him, he'd say, hide again, and he'd go take off. It sounded like hide-get. You know, he'd take off, and he could do this for hours. You know, he'd keep you going. You know, Benny will tell you, do it, you know, twins. And so I just got the urge to go upstairs and start writing. I started writing a book. By Father's Day of 18, so a year and a couple months afterwards, the book was done. You know, the editing and all that stuff had to be done, but the actual written manuscript was done through some harassment from my son on the other side, making me, you know, keep pushing to help people. By mid-November, Thanksgiving, the book was published. Mm. Now, that's inconceivable. That doesn't happen. I've met with authors who've spent 7 or 8 years getting books published after writing and editing, you know, so I have zero connection in the outside world or in the publishing world, in the writing world. I've never written a book. And it's a phenomenal book, if I say so myself, because I can say that with humility, because every keystroke, Chris was next to me, you know, mm-hmm. guiding me. So the bottom line is, for this book to hit, you know, Amazon a year and a half after its inception, is divine inspiration. And to be honest with you, it's Christopher. He's just pushing. He'll you know, if he wants something done, he'll get his arm around you. And that's how he was on this side. And what I found from a lot of media is that your spirits, your personality doesn't change. Mm-hmm. If you were tenacious here, you're going to be tenacious when you cross the room, right? And that's what it is. He's come through every reading I've been to in groups, small groups, big groups. They always walk over and say, your son Christopher's here. In fact, last time, Thomas John said, do you have a sister Pat who died? I said, yeah, my oldest sister passed away. He goes, well, Christopher's behind making bunny ears behind her. You know, same personality, you know, and he didn't know Pat or, you know, and he actually named off 4 or 5 other family members. who've crossed and said, you know what, your family kind of scares me. And when a medium says your family scares you, you know you're from a dysfunctional family.
Well, I did tell Joe that his son woke me up this morning and was very tenacious about the fact that I hadn't put his picture on my Facebook page. So I had to put the front of the book on my Facebook page, and it's a little blurry.
Beautiful?
You know, he's gorgeous.
Isn't he beautiful?
He's gorgeous. Yeah, he's really handsome. And you're right, Brad Pitt, or better.
Yeah.
I'm going to say or better.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
So, you know, did you, because there's so many questions in this, you know, first of all, you have an enormous validation that Christopher is still alive. He's just on the other side of whatever that is, the veil. And, you know, I have to say, because I also know that you're communicating directly with him. Like, you've gone to mediums and you've gone to psychics, but can you tell us about that? When did that happen and occur? And how did your family feel about that?
You know what? And one thing about coming from a big Irish Catholic family, as you know, Loretta, is you really don't care what anybody else thinks outside the family anyhow. You know what I mean? You just don't care.
I knew what you were going to say.
Yeah, you're your own tribe. You know what I mean? So you care about the tribe. So what I would do is I'd wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I'd walk from the bedroom to my office, which was used to be Christopher's bedroom when he was a lad. And it's my home office. And I usually work from home before I go downtown every day. And so I'd get up at 3 sometimes and I'd come in and I'd just feel them. And I would just light a candle and meditate and align my chakras and do all the things that 10 years ago I would have thought I'd rolled my eyes a little bit. You know, but if those are the rules to get connected, I'm in, man. Whatever it takes, I'm in. I'm gonna figure it out. So the day, anniversary of his crossing, January 3rd, 2017, in the first year, we got surprised at the grave with about a dozen of his local friends and friends from college who all showed up. We had a little celebration. Well, the next year, which was, you know, 2018, you know, it was about 30 people showed up, and we had a reception out and just all celebrating and fun. You know, no speeches, no BS, and we all came home to my. It was -3 degrees. Okay, there were 30 people at the grave hanging out, and so the night before, or 3 o'clock that morning, you know, 7-10 hours before, I'm doing my thing in my office, and I pick up a pen, and it was a pen that I had taken some notes on when I was listening to medium, and I just started writing down, and it was a messages from Chris, and it was, "Hi, Dad, you know, it's beautiful here. You're going to friggin' love it. It's greens and blues. It's never cold. It's warm. You know, there's a tropical breeze, you know." And it was like, what? You know, and I just kept writing. And I wrote 2 or 3 pages. And then he would say, "All right, going back now. See ya." And love my friends. Now, one of the things he said to me, Loretta, was one kid, it wasn't his fault. It was his house that they were all partying at. And he said, "Be nice to Scotty. You know, be nice to Scotty. You know, Scotty loved me and I loved him." Now, I'm Irish, and I wanted to hold on to that resentment, right? You know, that didn't come from me. I did not originate that, right? You know what Irish Alzheimer's is, Loretta? Where you forget everything but the grudges, you know? And this kid wasn't his fault. You know, he loved my son loved him. So I said, "Sure, Chris, I'll let go of that." Because when would I ever need it anyhow? Fast forward to 2:30 that afternoon, and there's Scotty at the grave. That's hard to think is a coincidence. Right? When you say coincidence, just God showing off, right?
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't a coincidence. You know, it was. So there are many things that he's come through. He's used analogy like, "Hey, Dad, it's just, you know, go with it, like a flow, like a canoe cutting through water." Loretta, I would never use an analogy of canoe cutting through water. My son crossed over in a canoe. You know, I'd never use that.
Right.
So if that's coming out in the writing, you got to know it's not originally with me. So I've taken this writing and I've got a folder that I've taped and hockey tape all over it because I don't want it. That's the original folder, and that's where it's going to stay until I cross.
Right.
And I've taken it and showed these writings to mediums. And I said, oh, yeah, that's Chris. You know, Thomas John, flat out, that's Chris. You know, Mancine out in Surprise, Arizona, that's Chris. You know, everybody said, yeah, no doubt, that's Chris. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, that's how the books, I had a year's worth, year and 2 months worth of notes and appointments and mediums that I had had in this folder that I had filed under a date, each date that it happened. And that day I picked it up and just started writing the book, and that's it. So I thought, I got to tell you something, I thought it was automatic writing, mm-hmm. right? That's what I thought. And that's what I called it in the book until almost the editing stages of the book. I thought it was automatic writing. And then I read what automatic writing really is, where you go into a trance. It's not your handwriting. And then I read what this is called. It's called spirit writing or channel writing. And it really is Chris sending me messages. Last weekend, I'm sitting on a beach at night in Naples and get a message that says, you know, go up to Siesta Key, Dad. And I was like, oh, okay. know, okay. That's a two-hour ride. I've been, you know, it's all bad. And, you know, I'm tired. But he wants to do it. I'm in. You know, made sure I had enough Red Bull and cigars to drive up to Siesta Key. Got there. Felt them all around me. And I laughed because I said, you know what I think this is about? Chris is turning to his buddy on the other side and saying, see, I told you to show up. but a mere four-hour round trip means nothing if I get to connect with my son. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's what I talked about earlier about going first. Make the effort, man. The payoff is ridiculous. The payoff is outstanding.
Now, you were talking just now about feeling him. Can you comment more on that? And also, because you're clairaudient and probably clairsentient.
Yes, I am.
Can you talk about that a little bit for the listeners? What are the
clairs? Well, first of all, I'm the youngest of 10 kids, which means I'm what, Laura? I'm spoiled, right? You're the youngest of 10 kids, you're spoiled.
Yeah.
The oldest of brothers and sisters couldn't believe. My old man's nickname was Iron Joe.
Oh.
You know, they couldn't believe. You know, what a sucker they were by the time the younger kids were. They were just tired, so I was spoiled. So I'm spoiled to this day. I am clairaudient and I'm clairsentient, where I can smell. Mm. I can smell him. It smells like a sweaty teenager after playing pickup basketball. You know, which is how his room always smelled, like sweats on. And I can hear him. And damned if I can't see him. I want to see him. And I'm trying, and maybe someday I will, but that just hasn't been given to me yet. You know, so when he's around, I feel a sense of a tingle around my neck, and it's like somebody just got submerged in kind of warm water. Mm. You know, that kind of, and I know he's around me. You know, and by the way, there's times that he's not around me. You know, and he'll say, "Not now, Pop," and I'll get nothing. It's like, dude, I'm up. Then I go back to bed and watch Law and Order reruns or something, right? But, so there is no doubt. The main feel I have is the back of my neck tingles, and that just tells me he's around. You know, he's around. What a gift! You know, what an amazing gift. And anybody who rolls their eyes, that's okay. God bless you. You know, when you need it, you're going to try it, and if you do it right, you're going to get some. Get some feedback from the other side.
Yeah. I wanted you to bring that out because a lot of people are looking for some sort of validation, and we can often, you know, smell something like a perfume or, like you say, body sweat. I love that one.
Yeah.
or we get signs. Can you talk a little bit about feathers and red cardinals?
Unbelievable. And we wrote a book. There's a wonderful friend of mine, Brad, and I, and we've written some music. I'll send you a couple of this stuff after the interview that we've gone to the studio. One is I'll send you feathers, which he was at a boarding school and it called Imbalance Ranch Academy. And I sit on the board. And the family who owns and runs that are wonderful. And Chris was like family to them. He stayed on there as staff for a year after he graduated. He was a wild kid. And so we sat out there and had some wonderful experiences. So I was out there to talk to the team, and they're boys, drug, alcohol, behavior. So So I went out there to connect with them, which is my favorite thing to do in the whole world, is to connect with kids that age, you know. And I see my son in every one of them. Mm-hmm. And there was a guy named Robert who was a counselor. And Robert left in balance to start a ranch, you know, out west. And Robert's a Apache Indian and was one of the counselors. And he talked about feathers being an important sign. And that Christopher's best pal on the ranch was a guy named Sam DuPont, who wrote a beautiful song. He's a musician now. And that Sam still carries a feather Robert gave him when he was a student that he carries with him. Mm. So that next day we went to see Christopher's godson at a park in Tucson. And Johnny Gonzalez, hi, Johnny. And Sally, and this little kid, you know, bronze, dark hair. Chris was blonde hair. They were the same spirit. You know, I saw this Johnny, and I just saw Chris's spirit in him. And I just, you know, loved this kid. So we were walking around, and I saw Sally pick up a feather and put it in her bag. And since I don't have a purse, I asked her to, you know, I picked up one and asked her to put it in the purse for me. And not that I judge if you have a purse. It's fine.
I was thinking of you with purse, Joe. I mean, other guys
good.
Maybe, but you, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm all good if somebody else has one. God bless. So,
yeah.
I get home, and I said to Sal, hey, when you get home, could you just throw that up? So I get home, and that night I shoot over to the grave to say hello. I hang out at the grave all the time. It's not modular. It's not static. It's a great place where we communicate. I don't think he lives there. I think he meets me there, and the energy is great. My dog runs around. It's fenced in. It's open 24/7. I have a folding chair. I light a cigar, and we shoot the breeze, you know, and catch up. I get there, and there's a feather over the gravestone, right across the gravestone. And I'm like, is she not here? You know, what I asked her to do, I asked her to please put it on my desk. So I come home and I go, hey. She said, how's the grave? I said, you know, great. I cleaned it up. It's perfect. I said, but I asked you to bring the feather and throw it on my desk. You know, I wanted to keep it to spread sage. I didn't want it on the grave. She said, I didn't put a feather on the grave. She said, you know, the next time you want to bring your own feather home, you bring it. You know, I was like, okay. So I got in trouble with my wife. And the bottom line, a feather, you know, the feather that she brought home was up on my desk. You know, so he sends me feathers. He sends my friends feathers all the time. He sends cardinals. He sends Sally, my wife Sally, who was really connected to also, hawks. He sends me cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's, mm-hmm. you know, and for all you listeners, you know, this isn't me trying to placate my grief. This isn't me looking and stretching.
Mm-hmm.
This is the kind of thing where I'm walking out the deck a couple weeks ago, and I saw these, you know, starlings flying by, and I said, God, I wish it was a cardinal, and damned if a cardinal didn't fly by, you know, like, oh, okay, hi, buddy, hi, Chris, you know, these are, you know, this, I'm not doing this to maintain my sanity,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is just the way it is, and I'm lucky to have that connection.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I like this, the feathers, you know, he sends you feathers and the red cardinals and, like you say, the hawk or whatever it is. I have, every time I hear, you know, because I play the piano and I used to play the Moonlight Sonata, the first movement for my grandmother.
Yeah.
And every time I hear that song, random places, I'm like, oh, that's grandma. There she is. Right.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. And I think it's comforting for us to know, because they will reach through from the other side to try to connect with us. And it's so, I think it's comforting at some level. It's very comforting. I wanted to ask you this. It's you know, do souls have a designated exit point? I mean, was your son ready to go? What's your answer to that? Yeah.
You know, great question. And I've done a lot of research on this. And I'm told his exit point, you know, and he was reckless and wild and sweet. And he had a couple of near-death experiences. When he was 18, working on the ranch, I sent him a pickup out there, which one day, you know, going to the ranch, which, you know, ranch, as the term says, starts early. He flipped it on this dirt road, and the fact that he walked away, he and a passenger, without a scratch. Upside down, flipped, totaled, was one. another one is he fell down a 30-foot mine shaft hiking in Havasupe. That it was the air duct next to mine shaft, and it was, there's nothing marked, it, there's nothing, you know, and, you know, there was a leader that, you know, inadvertently led them into that. He fell down that and went into shock, and until the day that we didn't find him, it was the longest half hour of my life, because if they said they were going to airlift him out, if he was going to Las Vegas, it was because there was spinal injuries. If he was going to Flagstaff, it was because there wasn't. So I waited, you know, praying crazily for half an hour until I got the call and said he was on his way to Flagstaff, where my friend Mike Sawyer busted him out of the hospital and got him to a good hospital in Scottsdale. But, you know, those are two times that he could have exited, and he did. Yet I'm told by every medium, pretty much everyone that said that he, you know, certainly didn't mean to go, he didn't choose to go. He thought there'd be more weddings, he told Thomas John. Mm. It was an oh frig moment. You know, that he wanted to be a dad. He wished he could have been a dad. Mm-hmm. But then we were told by Rosen, who said next year 22 was his exit point, that mm-hmm. he would have gone at 22. I don't know why, but Rebecca Rosen, who was just fit, wonderful, but we always kind of worried that we'd only have him for a short time. Maybe it was just his energy, you know. Mm-hmm. He was there, then he was gone. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the fact that he's telling me he's going to be there when I cross is really reassuring to me. I mean, literally, he says, don't worry about it, Pop. I'll be there when you cross. And he said to me, your learning curve is going to be a lot easier than mine because I'm telling you all about it. Mm. So, yeah, I'm giving you the heads up, so you owe me.
I love that. So, I love that. I've had a couple of near-death experiences, and part of that experience is the loved ones, the relatives, just waiting right there for you. And,
yeah. Yeah, his word, you know what? My niece, mm-hmm. Carrie, when my niece Carrie died at 42 years old, 2012, mm-hmm. and she left two boys. She couldn't have kids. She adopted two Korean boys, Brian and Alan. And when she died, the family was, you know, up in arms. What do you do? You know, Bill, the husband, had a job and had two boys to provide for. So Christopher stayed there 2 months and babysat the boys, nannied the boys. Mm. You know, and he said to me, I said, buddy, that's a big responsibility. He said, you know, Dad, that's just what family does.
Yeah.
So it's no surprise that every medium we've talked to, Retta, everyone, mm-hmm. has said that Carrie was there when he crossed. And he said, Carrie, what are you doing? He was surprised to see her. But she was there to walk him across when he crossed. You know, nobody circles the wagons like we do, the McQuillans, you know?
Yeah.
This side or the next.
Yeah. I love that. My father passed in 2007, and I had powerful experiences. He actually appeared next to my bed, woke me up, and said, is it okay for me to go? And I was like in that sleepy place, like, sure, Dad, whatever. And then I got a call that he had passed and realized, oh my gosh, he actually asked me. He actually showed up. But he shows up off and on. And I asked him a couple of days after he'd passed, I said, Dad, what are you doing on the other side? Like, what's going on over there? And he said, first of all, it's just like what your son told you. He said, it's beautiful. It's amazing. It's all real. Everything's real. And he said, I'm building houses for all of you so that when you pass, I'll meet you and you'll have a place to go. And I went, oh, my goodness. And that's my dad. He was always, you know, building a fence out of lumber left laying around somewhere, right? But
You know, I mm-hmm. asked Nancy, who was this, Nancy Myers is great. She's out in Surprise, Arizona, mm-hmm. great medium. But we were on the phone, and I wanted him more face-to-face. That's why I went to Andrew, who was terrific. I asked Nancy, and I said, look, that morning at 3 o'clock in the morning on the 3rd, I woke up. It was one of those stupid dreams about running around school without your homework or half naked or something, and it was really unsettling.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt in a horrible mood that morning. And so I said, was that him? And she said, yeah. She said, it's not uncommon that when spirits cross, they go somewhere that's familiar on the way, where they're loved. Mm. And in Christopher's case, he came to see me, on his way to cross over, And so your dad visiting you, that's real commonplace. Here's the crazy stat, Loretta. Mm-hmm. 70% of people have some sort of contact with the other side. Mm. So when we're walking around worried about, gee, is somebody going to think I'm crazy? Well, there's only 30% of the people who haven't had the experience. And maybe half of them haven't had experience but believe it. That means 15% of the people. So are we really going to walk around and worry what 15% of the people think about? No. I don't care. I feel bad for them. I feel bad for them.
Well, your book certainly lays everything out in a very heartfelt and tangible way. And I'm just highly recommending your book. I'm going to remind people that this is Loretta Brown, and I'm talking to Joe McQuillan, and his book, My Search for Christopher on the Other Side, I think you just need to get it, everybody. You just need to go get it. And it might help somebody.
It might change your life. Mm-hmm. It really might. It might change the way you approach things. I'm a different guy than before Chris crossed over. Mm-hmm. This might wake you up a little bit.
So where can people find your book? And
Amazon.com.
Okay.
It's in print. You can have it in 2 days. Amazon is like Santa Claus. I mean, it's incredible. So it's in print. It's also on Kindle. They're going to have an Audible eventually, which is good for Audible, for guys who are more inclined to Audible like me. It's Amazon.com, and it gets shipped out right away. And because I know that it was more Chris and less me, I'm just carrying the mail for the kid.
Let me ask you this. Do people that pass the other side, do they have regrets?
That's a great question. And probably better for a real medium than me,
right,
is that I think, yes. Christopher said, I don't think there's guilt or shame, but I think, like Christopher said, I would have liked to have been married. I would have liked to have been. Mm. I think they make peace with it, but Christopher has apologized for taking our love for granted, which I think most kids do at that age. I know I did, mm-hmm. right? And he's apologized. So I think there's regrets, not in the way of being shamed, but I think just of, if you're gonna run through this again, you probably do it a little differently. So I do believe so. I do.
Yeah.
I think he feels bad, especially early. And we've been told by mediums that he's really made peace with it. But early, I think he was very haunted by the pain he was putting his mom and I through, and his brother and sister. He really regretted that his recklessness had this kind of impact. But I think, like on this world, you make peace with that and you move on. And we've been told he's actually, beyond that. He's gone beyond that, feeling bad about that.
Yeah.
Which there's nothing any dad in the world is worse for any dad than watching their kid hurt or knowing that they're hurting. So I'm grateful that he was able to move on. And I'll tell you this. I had 20 people say to me, gee, I'm so sorry what you went through. I had 21 years of being this guy's dad. Mm-hmm. 21 years of memory. 21 years of the greatest job in the world. And as painful as the last three has been, I'd make that deal in a minute. I'd do it again.
Yeah. I gotcha. So the love is what goes on. Thanks for listening. This is Loretta Brown, the original Loretta Brown Show. My guest today has been Joe McQuillan, and his book, My Search for Christopher on the Other Side, is available now on Amazon.com. And love everybody. Joe, thanks so much for being on the show today. Be blessed in all that you do, and we'll talk to you again.